Welcome to The Art of Growth. This is Jim Zartman, and today Joel Hubbard and I are continuing in our series on empathy for the types, and today we are talking about the type 5. Before we jump into that, you can find out more about us at theartofgrowth.org. If you are interested in personal coaching or having us work with your organization and taking you through our training program of how to utilize the Enneagram for communication, building a culture of trust, productive conflict, and understanding the diversity of work values. And if you happen to be in Massachusetts, there's a good chance the state will actually cover the training with us. So you can contact us to find out more about any of those things. But for now, let's jump into this week's episode on empathy for the type 5. Okay, so we're in this series on empathy for the different types. We've done the body types, we've done the heart types. Now we are rounding the corner to the head types. And today we are talking about the type 5 and empathy for the type 5. So we're getting the behind the scenes look at what the struggle is for this type, what it's like to be them. And as I was thinking about the head types, I was thinking about the internal wars that they experience, the internal struggles that can come up. And I think for the 5, it manifests in very different ways. But the main part of it I was thinking about is this struggle with energy management and the internal conflicts that that can create for different 5s. And I think probably highly influenced by their instincts, but just this internal energy management. And when I think of that, in one of the areas is this, you know, I desire social connection. I want to be connected to people. I want to be in relationship with people. But there's also this reality, because of the energy management, that those interactions can be draining. I'm going to have to recover from some of the very things that I actually need and desire. And I think this shows up in a lot of different areas for the 5, but that was one of the first ones that came to mind, is this energy management being this something that they're concerned about behind the scenes, something they're always gauging and measuring. Not all 5s I've talked to have been aware of that until they've tuned into it for a while, but there's so often these competing internal realities. And I think that's one of the ones that came up when I was thinking about this morning, is this conflict between desire for relationship interaction, and I can feel like my energy is depleted after experiencing those very same things I needed.
Yeah. And we can get caught up in the particulars, the context, the situations, and say, well, geez, that would not have tired me out. Why does that drain you?
Yeah.
So we can pathologize again or moralize that, when what we're trying to get to feel that sense of empathy for types is what's happening underneath that all of us can relate to, which is what you mentioned. Imagine not having enough energy. We all can experience or relate to that feeling of being drained, that feeling of being utterly exhausted, and then having the whole day and the whole week in front of you. That's your starting point. You're already tired. You're already run down. You may be fighting something, you know, and you're now faced with not only, it's not like I'm going to bed now, it's I'm starting my day.
Yeah.
Now, that's not how 5 start their day, is at a point of exhaustion. It's they start generally with a sense, an acute awareness, when they do their work of awareness. Otherwise, it sort of manifests just by a resistance to things that will drain them, or shutting down. There's different ways that different 5s do it. But there's a sense of which the little that they do have is going to be taken. It's going to be drained out of them. Mm-hmm. And they still have to do today. They still have to do tomorrow. And so for some, it's a little bit more of a less management. It's a little bit more of like ginning up energy, like seeing if they can stimulate themselves to feel alive. But that's the feeling underneath, is I'm going to be wiped out. I'm going to be annihilated. I'm going to be without. And so that's the part that all of us have had that experience. And when you're interacting with a 5 and you're thinking about, why is this person pulling back? Why is this person talking about things that are observable or intellectual? I want to go to the emotions, or I want to talk about the action steps, or, you know, and it's because that's their starting point.
Yeah. that anticipation mechanism as being so key to the head types. And I think most of us can relate to an experience where we were going to have to go to a thing. We were going to have to go do a thing or be at an event or a family holiday or something. And we were anticipating what it was going to cost us. We were anticipating what we needed to do to be prepared to navigate and get through that experience. And I think understanding that little experience that all of us have had at some point in time and understands that fives experience that a lot with their ordinary life, that anticipation and planning for what that's going to cost me and creating strategies to get through that experience or mm-hmm. through that project, and that that mechanism is sort of always functioning for them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And again, we're not looking for self-pity. And I know fives, if you're listening to this, you're probably like, oh my gosh, like, no, you know, let's not get to self-pity because life isn't that terrible. And that's true for all nine types, is that whatever it is that's happening at the existential level, that experiential level, that sort of core need, that is something that isn't always loud inside of us. There are days where fives are feeling a little less of that and feeling maybe a little bit more, more aliveness, more energy, just as any other type will have that with their own core need. But what we're saying is this is so helpful when you understand that at the core, fives will regularly face this existential need to feel resourced, to feel like I have enough. So both the desire and the joy and the pleasure of learning and acquiring knowledge and having those puzzle pieces fit and the patterns making sense, and suddenly they, there it is, right? It's the connecting of the dots. That sense of I understand now at a deeper level is wonderful. It's a wonderful for most head types, but fives really enjoy that.
Yeah. That's an energy provider.
It's like
reciprocal energy comes back in that experience.
Yeah.
Yeah, for sure.
So it's that, but at the same time, if you see them getting stuck, like incapable of really landing somewhere or not really handling emotions in the present moment, well, that's what's going on. It's a sense of I'm being drained. I need to go gather resources. I need to go take some time off before I come back with an answer. Don't demand an answer from me about something that I'm being presented for the very first time, or, you know, your emotional state of being right now and demanding some kind of response. They're not going to have it usually.
Yeah. But even them, I've seen people be like, well, you're a subject matter expert on this thing. You should know this, the answer to that. But to the five, they go, well, this context adds these factors. And so I need to analyze how the context of this is going to affect what I would normally say in this situation. And therefore, I need to still process and create a mental model so that I can give the most reasonable answer that I can come up with.
Yeah.
So it's like, it's literally like all of those little components
matter. So why is that important? Well, why is that important? It's because for a five to have the substrate, the foundation of facts, of truth, is really grounding. It's a sense of like, I'm not just floating out into, you know, oblivion. As much as I enjoy floating out into the imagination, I also want to have something underneath that gives me a sense of that's the truth, those are the facts, and now we can build upon that. You're not looking to just innovate on the fly. that requires a lot of energy to do that. So this is much more of the, let me pull back, let me observe, think it through, so that I can come back and engage with something that adds to understanding, wisdom, knowledge, and also doesn't demand as much energy from me in putting this out there. And usually they don't really feel it in the headspace. It's funny for head types. It's like, I'll give knowledge and information, and some fives can do quite a bit of it and not in the moment feel exhausted. They will afterwards, but there's something about the head center that does not seem as draining.
For sure.
As functioning from the heart or the body.
Yeah, which leads me to thinking about something that so many fives have told me that they struggle with is the amount of times that they've been told, or the experiences of when they've been told, that they're hard to read.
Yeah.
So people saying like, well, I didn't know what was going on with you. I didn't know what you were thinking. I wasn't receiving any kind of feedback. I wasn't sure where you were at. So I wasn't really sure if you were with me. I wasn't sure if you were hearing me. I wasn't sure if you were processing. I wasn't sure how you felt about it. Like, so other people looking for clues in a way that some people demonstrate. It's just right on their sleeve. It's on their face. It's on their body. It's in their words. It's right there. And for the five, it's not going to be as visibly evident. And so it requires not just looking for clues. It requires the follow-up in those questions. Mm-hmm. And having fives tell me, like, this is really hard because unless, you know, someone asks, I don't know that they're missing information.
Yeah.
That they would be getting if they asked me that, because it's not as visible. So we're talking about a type that has a value for privacy. And I think that's even at a subconscious level in the facial expressions and the body language that comes across.
Yeah. I mean, I've heard so many fives say, I don't have any problem sharing if I'm asked, mm-hmm. right? There's a sort of protocol relationally, right? So fives really value protocols that are respectful of other people. And
so, you wouldn't share if you weren't asked.
Right.
Because that's an intrusion.
Right. Yeah.
In their perspective, it's an intrusion if I just start throwing all this stuff at you.
Exactly. You didn't ask.
You didn't ask.
So it's out of respect. But yeah, if I'm asked, I'll share. Many fives will say that. So the privacy is not always a matter of, I don't want to share anything with anyone because I just want to have the locus of control being internal, even though that's true for a lot of fives. Many times it's, no, I'm glad to share with people I trust, but I do need to be asked in order for me to know what's needed, what's appropriate. And I think that that's the part that sometimes they might not know and be able to read naturally is, I can just say it now in this moment. I can just speak up share what I think. So I think that that's important. I think another thing that's important is to make sure that if you're interacting with a five, is that you demonstrate gratitude for what they contribute. So that fives need a pat on the back. They actually don't look for that usually. But all fives, if they're truthful with themselves, they're aware, first of all, and then, you know, truthful with themselves, is that appreciation for their contribution matters. I think it matters for most human beings is to know that what I'm doing makes a difference. What I'm doing is something that helps, that serves in some way. So that's something that they need. And a lot of times they don't give off that they want that. And so they're the ones that tend to not get it. Out of all nine types, perhaps they are the ones that get the least amount of sort of positive feedback, unless they're a public figure. Most of the time, they're the ones in the office who don't ask for anything.
Right.
They're not the squeaky wheel. They're quiet. They're social types and they enjoy interacting with people. But because they come off as not needing anything from anybody, people tend to just see them as autonomous beings that prefer to, you know, do their thing or, you know, are totally content in the way with what they're dealing, you know, with their world, their lives. And so it's really important to remind yourself when you're working alongside of, in relationship with a five, is to remind yourself that appreciation for what they do, particularly noticing when they stretch beyond what's natural for them, even though it may be totally like, well, of course you should do that. That's the normal thing for them. If they stretch in that direction, that's a big step for them and that costs them a lot energetically. And so to be able to say, thank you for that. I appreciate that. I see that and I appreciate it. Thank you.
Is
a wonderful gift.
Yeah, because they do have a high value for autonomy and self-reliance, but they still want to know, do you value the competency I brought to the situation?
Yeah.
Because this is what I find valuable. This is what I want to add. And so it is helpful to hear that the competency that I brought as a resource is valued by you.
Yes. Yeah.
That's the heart of it. Well, we appreciate you joining us and listening. You can follow us on Instagram at just Art of Growth or on Facebook. If you leave us a review, it helps people find the show. And if you have any other questions, you can reach out to us at theartofgrowth.org. But for now, my friends, may you lean into the wise energy of the five that wants to be patient and investigate and understand so that they can be a resource, be useful to those around them, and to make a contribution with their unique gifts of being thorough and thoughtful, curious and original in their solutions. May you value the need to pull back, to check in with yourself, or to feel resourced again so that you may engage again. Grace and growth, my friends.